We read in St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians today how he had become all things to all to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, he says, so that I too may have a share in it. We know that it is an inescapable law, we can say, of the present economy of salvation, of the present economy of grace, of the present way things work, that to have a share in the gospel ourselves, we have to share it with others. What does that mean? Well, it's an elaborate way of saying that to get to heaven, we can't do it in a bubble. You can't get to heaven just completely alone, as if no one else existed. We have to, because God so willed it, we have to be a help to others to get there, and others have to be a help for us in the work of saving our souls. Helping each other in this way, St. Paul says, becoming weak with the weak, to win over the weak, making ourselves slaves of all, so as to share in the gospel that we share with others. Doing this, we realize one thing, and we realize it profoundly, that we all are full of misery, that we all have defects that we have to put up with in one another. That's what St. Paul means when he says in another letter that he wrote to the Galatians, bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. There it is, the whole law of Christ. Christianity is not so much about just saying a lot of prayers and even saying them well, about feeling good when we come to church and feeling that love of God in us when we're in our churches, when we're in the presence of God, and then leading a different life outside. No, we need that. We need prayer. We need our churches. We need the presence of God. We need to be in His presence. But it's essentially then living that presence, seeing that presence, recognizing that presence in our daily lives, in our neighbors who are the images and likeness of God. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. You will imitate Christ, who bore our burdens, who gave his life for us. In a spiritual life, we can often fall into a trap. We can deceive ourselves with a certain illusion, especially on this topic of bearing each other's burdens, which is so important. It's the fulfillment of the entire law. We say to ourselves, well, I would be patient. I want to be patient. I actually am patient, but the problem is that there are so many people in my life that annoy me. That's really the problem. I'm the good guy. Everyone else is making me act bad, making me look bad. Everyone's an obstacle to my sanctity. If I only didn't have all these problems in my life. And the people around us, the people that know us and put up with us, much to our chagrin, probably say the same thing and think the same thing about us. If only that guy wasn't in my life, if only I didn't have to put up with him, I'd be holy too. And we create for ourselves these illusions, these deceptions, and we think that everyone else is the problem. Whereas no, St. Paul calls us back to reality and says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens, and there you will fulfill the law of Christ. I have made myself all to all, a slave to all, so as to win at least some, so as to share in that gospel that I preach. All of this evidently takes patience. It takes the virtue of patience to put up with one another. And that will be the topic of our brief reflection today, that virtue, indispensable virtue of patience in the Christian life. It'll be a brief reflection because though God wants us to help each other exercise patience, we shouldn't do it deliberately, so we'll just briefly reflect on this topic today so as not to put your patience to the test unnecessarily. We'll begin with a little reflection from the Imitation of Christ. It's a golden little booklet full of little reflections for the spiritual life. There the author calls to mind the following fact. He says in the following words, depicts with the following example patience to us. He says, you are well-versed in coloring your own actions with excuses, which, however, you will not accept from others, though it would be more just to accuse yourself and excuse your brother. If you wish men to bear with you, you must bear with them. Behold, how far you are from the true charity and humility which does not know how to be angry with anyone or to be indignant, save only against oneself. We easily find many excuses for our own defects, easily, but we won't accept those excuses from anybody else. We demand a just, a strict judgment for everyone else except for ourselves. No, if you wish men to bear with you, you must also bear with them. We want others to become all things for us. We want them to be patient when they need to be patient, to be reasonable when we want them to be reasonable, to be understanding when they need to be understanding. But we have to be the first to act that way towards others, like St. Paul did. And as St. Therese also teaches us, we'll use the example of a few saints today in this reflection. Words go away. We hear them. They go in one ear, out the other. But the example of saints remain. St. Therese became a saint not by doing anything great, anything to the eyes of the world, nothing extraordinary. She lived in a convent all her brief life of 24 years. But there she practiced perfect charity. She fulfilled the law of Christ, bearing with the burdens that she had there, and she had plenty of them. She wrote in her autobiography about charity and how it's inevitably, inescapably linked to patience. She wrote, "I see that true charity consists in what? In bearing with the faults of those about us, never being surprised at their weaknesses, but edified at the least sign of virtue. And should the devil even draw my attention to the faults of any one of my sisters," of her fellow Carmelites with whom she lived, "should the devil even draw my attention to the faults of any one of them, I call to mind at once her virtues and her good intentions. I tell myself that though I may have seen her fall once, there are probably a great many other occasions in which she has won victories, which in her humility she has kept to herself. What may appear to me to be a fault may even be an act of virtue because of her intention. And as I have experienced this for myself, I have little difficulty in persuading myself that this is indeed the case." There it is again, true charity, not feelings, not emotions. It consists in bearing with the faults of those about us. We have plenty of faults that others have to put up with. We have to put up with the faults of others in a Christ-like fashion. Again, words go away, examples remain. One more example of a saint, St. Francis de Sales, and with him we'll conclude today this brief reflection. I used this example in a homily just recently on a feast of St. Francis de Sales, which wasn't too long ago, but it's good to hear it again, to reflect on it again, and to resolve again, to imitate it and to put it into practice. How do we practice patience? It's easy to resolve, but then that resolve has to translate into daily life, into daily virtues, into practice. And it's going to cost effort, blood, sweat, and tears, as the saying goes, and it costs the saints precisely that. So St. Francis de Sales was known as the gentle saint, the saint of meekness, but he acquired it. How? Here's one example. Once when he was a bishop already, St. Francis de Sales was a bishop in Switzerland. Once a friend came to see him. Why do you go see a bishop? Well, when you need a favor, you go see him. So this is what happened. This friend of his came by to ask for a favor. He came by to ask for what was then called a benefice. We won't go into the historical details, but a benefice back then was a position in the church which was linked to revenues, to money, etc. So this friend, I got a bishop friend, he can give me a benefice, which will mean money. There we go. So I'm going to go ask him. Many abuses existed back then concerning these benefices, and the saint was trying to reform his diocese, and replying to his friend very kindly, he said, "Well, I can't do any unjust favors. No benefices just because you're a friend of the bishop. I'm sorry, let's remain friends." The friend, however, who had a quick temper, didn't take this too well. He believed that this was only a nice little pretext to refuse him, because he didn't want to give it to him, had it in mind for somebody else, and burst out in anger. The saint trying to explain how he was acting justly, calm down, there's nothing personal here, I'm just doing my job, but the friend wouldn't have any of it. He started to raise his voice angrily to make all kinds of insulting remarks to the holy bishop, who bore all of this in unbroken silence, calmly, patiently, took it all with a smile. An onlooker who was present, noticing all of this, shocked at all of this afterwards, after this friend had left and the bishop remained as serene as ever at his desk doing his job, asked him how He was able to bear such insults without showing the least resentment, and this happened often to the bishop. Many an onlooker was astonished at how he always kept his patience. And the bishop answered, and here is the secret of his, and if we imitate it, of our patience. How was it? So he answered, do not be astonished at this, for it was not he that spoke, but his anger. So the bishop is responding how he kept this patience with this man, this insolent man who was insulting him to his face. Do not be astonished that I kept my patience, said the saint, for it was not he that spoke, but his anger. Besides this episode of anger, he is one of my dearest friends, and you will see after a while that my silence will increase his attachment for me. But did you not feel any resentment at all? The onlooker said. Well, I turned my thoughts in another direction, he answered, setting myself to consider not his bad qualities, but the good qualities of this person, whose friendship I had previously so much enjoyed. What happened afterwards? What was the fruit of this heroic patience? The friend came, asked pardon, even with tears, and the two became firmer friends than ever before. Well, again, what was the saint's strategy? It wasn't easy, but it's the only way we can make patience work. First and foremost, when your patience is put to the test, try to keep your passions calm, put a lid on them, and see in the friend, or rather see in a person whom you have in front of you, see in them a friend. See in them a friend. If it's your wife, see in that person your wife whom you love. If it's your husband, see in that person your husband whom you love, etc., whoever it might be, family member, a friend. See in that person a friend. Let the heat of your passions die down. Start reasoning and seeing that person a friend. And if you can't, if it's difficult to see a friend in that person, a personal friend, at least remember at least that that person is a friend of Christ, a person redeemed by his precious blood, therefore a friend of yours as well. Secondly, excuse the person. St. Francis de Sales said, in this little example, he said to himself, it was not he that spoke, but his anger. Okay, he was having a bad day. I made him angry, so he burst out in fury. Okay, it happens to all of us. It was not he that spoke, it was his anger. It happens to all of us. As the Imitation of Christ reminds us, we are well versed in coloring our own faults with every sort of excuse. Everything we do as an excuse, a justification, well, we have to pay others with that same currency. You have to find excuses for them as well. Thirdly, turn your thoughts in another direction when you're tempted to resentment, when you're tempted to judge them, when you're tempted to open your own mouth and shout back. Turn your thoughts in another direction. The saint said to himself, I consider not his bad qualities, not what he was doing now, but all his other good qualities. I consider the friend in him whom I loved. It may cost sweat and tears, as it cost the saints, but it's possible. And the result, one thing is certain, if you apply this, you'll keep your patience. And if you do it well enough, if you do it persistently, perseveringly enough, you might win a soul for Christ. By becoming all for all, a slave to all, you might win a soul for Christ. What happened to St. Francis de Sales? Well, that friend of his, afterwards, when his own emotions died down, and when he reflected on the heroic behavior of the saint, St. Francis de Sales, afterwards came back, asked for pardon, even with tears, and the two became stronger friends than ever before. It might cost sweat and tears, but that's the only way we'll acquire patience. That's the only way we'll imitate St. Paul, who became a slave to all. It's not easy to become a slave. It's not fun. It costs effort. But in order to have a share in the gospel, we have to share it in this way with others. I have become all things to all to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I may have a share in it. So let's imitate St. Paul. Let's heed his words. Let's imitate the saints. Let's share that gospel in our daily lives with our brothers and sisters. We have to help to save their souls and who, even with their defects, have to help us to save our souls by seeing always Christ in them, seeing them always that friend of Christ redeemed by his precious blood. We have to, in this way, share the gospel with others. It's the only way that we too can ever have a share in it ourselves. Praised be Jesus and Mary. Now and forever.